It's Anna here for the On Farm podcast, but I'm not going to stick around for too long because I'm about to hand you over to a familiar voice. Monty is back with us this week. I met up with him and with producer Dave for a chat, and so you're going to hear that shortly. But Monty has asked me to mention something here which he forgot to do in the chat, and that is to mention our sponsors, Gillespie McAndrew. Now, Gillespie McAndrew, Scottish law firm, have been sponsoring the On Farm podcast for quite some time, and we are hugely, hugely grateful for their ongoing support. But in this particular case, Monty wanted to mention them from a personal perspective. He had told me just the other day that when he got his diagnosis of a brain tumour, he had somewhat of a panic with regard to power of attorney and all of the issues surrounding that, and he got straight on the phone to Gillespie McAndrew, and within really a matter of hours before his surgery, they got everything sorted out. And so he is, I think, what you would describe as an incredibly happy client of Gillespie McAndrew. So it fills me with courage, actually, and enthusiasm to say that we can not only thank Gillespie McAndrew as our podcast sponsors, but that actually now we've got a personal recommendation for them. So I shall leave it there and hand you over to Monty.
Hi, is Monty speaking on this episode of On Farm for the first time in 6 or 7 months? That has been a frustration for me. I thought I would do it before now, but I have had some health issues, and that's, I guess, what we're going to discuss. But I wanted to say, as I normally would, hi, it's Monty here.
How does it feel?
It's lovely. It's lovely to be back. It's lovely to be speaking on Farm. I hope I can do it. I probably sound a bit different, and I think that's what we're going to sort of explain.
Okay, so we're doing things a little bit differently here. We're set up in my living room because I happen to live quite near the Western General, and that's somewhere you've been spending quite a bit of time, and you've popped in on the way home. You've just set half an hour aside for a chat with us, haven't you?
Yeah. So I had a very unfortunate and scary situation in September of last year. Basically, I had a seizure. I collapsed, and luckily that happened in the doctor's surgery, the local doctor's surgery where we live down in Loddon and the Borders. And that was lucky because it happened in the right place, but it wasn't lucky because it was caused by the unfortunate presence of a brain tumour. Fortnight later, thankfully. I mean, the NHS have been absolutely brilliant. It was only a fortnight later after the seizure that they operated to remove, a bloody brain tumour, of all things. And subsequent to that, I had to have 6 weeks of very intensive radio and chemotherapy treatment. The reason I'm sort of telling you that is because that was really intensive treatment, and it was difficult. And I had in my head that, you know, get Christmas and the New Year out of the way after all of that, and I'll be Monty, and I'll be back to this seen and heard and on farm stuff from January. Because that's what, you know, that's just how you feel when you're hopefully recovering and also thinking, you know, I'm strong enough and young enough, etc., to get on and do some work. But here we are. We're the middle of March, and effectively, the way of putting it is, I'm still a patient. I've been at the Western today, having thought, you know, January, February, whatever it might be, I'll be able to do some on farm or whatever. No, it didn't work, and it still won't work. This, unbelievably, we're now halfway through my treatment for 2024. So March today. Been at the Western. I now have my chemo treatment tablets now for March. After this, I go April, May, and June. After June, it might take me a bit of time to recover, build energy, etc. But get me to July, and that could be the job done. That could be me feeling a lot better and through it. And I just, you might not want to listen to all of these sort of where I've been and what's happening, but one major, major thing to say about it is how grateful I am for all the help and just the NHS people who are making this happen in these time frames is amazing. Couldn't be more efficient, more professional, better guidance, and just making this happen for me. And if I get to June and then start to feel better, etc., how lucky from September last year to have gone through this. Dave and Anna are here, and I'm sort of giving them all of this. I don't know if the listeners want to hear all of this, but that is where we're at. And it's pretty frustrating being ill. It's pretty frustrating feeling that is taking all this time to get through and to recover. And my wife Moira is sitting here. She doesn't want to be recorded. I don't think she will be, but she might.
We'll try and entice her.
Yeah. But honestly, family, friends, everyone who has helped. That's part of the reason I was frustrated that I couldn't come and do this on farm in like January, to say thank you so much. The help. Family, friends, local farmers were so lucky. Just, yeah, it's been amazing. Absolutely amazing. The driving, people taking me up to hospital, people doing all the stuff. The NHS people helping me to get through all of this have been wonderful. And I might actually sound a bit emotional telling you this, but that's one of the things I wanted on farm to listeners to understand, how lucky we've been with people helping. And I hope that's a message that, if as a listener of this, should you ever have anyone that is a neighbour on the farms or locally or whatever, and things happening, please be strong enough to give them some help. My main plan, once I'm through all of this, if I can be back driving again or whatever, I must promise anyone local in Lauderdale, in the Borders, anybody else who ever needs any help, I'll be the first person to try and do it in a much stronger way than I ever have before.
It's so important, Monty, and it's important, I felt it was important not to interrupt you as well, because you've said to me every time I've spoken to you since September, the first thing that you've said to me each time is how amazing the support has been from family and from friends. And, you know, you mentioned about driving up to hospital and things like that, looking after the girls, you know, people bringing cakes and meals and, you know, everything that we could imagine. But we may forget or overlook that it's more than that, actually, because, you know, you've got a farm there to keep going as well. And if you are up to it, or if Moira wants to give us a hand, it would be really good to hear how people have helped, you know, with kind of farm related tasks, and how that must have been a massive help to you, because, you know, physically you can't at the moment do half the things that you were doing before, and yet the farm is there 365 days of the year and the sheep need fed.
We're just about to start lambing, and that's going to be difficult. Moira this year is taking time off her IT work, and she's going to be the farm manager. We've got help to do what I would call the feeding, the watering, etc., all the kind of labory type stuff. I myself hope that I can cope with the sheep management side of the lambing, because I think the sheep, they're my bred sheep, and I think they should lamb. That's how I've always looked at it, so that's my plan. But that's just what's happening, basically starting now, so we're going to need that energy. But the stuff that you're asking about, people helping, etc., yeah, it's been, when there's been help needed, there's been help. And again, to go back to talking about the basic thing, if you want to call it that, the number of people that drove me up every single day up to Edinburgh, to the hospital, etc., so much appreciated, and so much. And I just want to emphasize that enough, that, you know, we have these issues, and RSABI, etc., really emphasise how much we must help folk with mental health and health and supporting them, etc. It's great. I love RSABI emphasising all of that. I wish we could just underline how much just little thing like saying, hope that neighbour's all right, and I know they've got a wee bit of a health issue or whatever, I'm going to drive them or whatever, because when that's happened to me, unbelievably appreciative. Or come and help the sheep. Back when I was, before the operation, wasn't it? Before, Moira, you can not, at least nod your head. It was before the operation, after the seizure, when I had to get help to sort out use for tupping, etc. There was about 6 folk came to help, and it was like they just did it. You know, it was just I sat there. I could hardly get up. I was sat. They sorted out the sheep, and it was done. You know, and there was a couple of other things to move them and stuff. It was done. I would say that to the friends, jokingly, but it's funny because you do think it's not how I would do it. It's not, I wouldn't have done it like that, you know, but that's just me being pig-headed about how I'm the farm. I do my stuff my way. Probably the same if you're a baker, a butcher, you know, you do things your way. But when people actually just say, I'm helping you and want to help you, my goodness, that's appreciated. And I would ram that home, whether as a listener, the way to do it is to speak with someone like RSABI about how to help, or whether it's just to go and knock the neighbour's door or whatever, just try. I was poor at that. I must admit that, you know, back before all of this, there must be episodes that I should have thought of harder when people were ill or whatever it might have been, you know, locally. And the first thing I was always have maybe sort of done is sort of think, oh, I don't really know. They might be wanting to be private, or they might not want you.
Yeah.
They might not want you to go and knock the door or phone them or whatever. Maybe that's a young person's thing, or maybe it's just a personal thing for me. Actually, go and knock the door. That's my opinion.
Don't wait to be asked. Just go and see if you can help. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just somehow. And, you know, the people that did that for us, so much appreciated. So much. RSABI, goodness, I got a letter from them in one of the hospitals, and then I got phone calls, emails from them. And again, you know, I just thought, I don't really fit the bill as someone who's desperately needing that, but especially because all of these other people are reaching out to help. But I must say, well done, RSABI. Mm. I'll tell you two things about what I would observe about, again, Moira might jump in on this, but two things I would observe about my health and my observation of other people's health in the situation I've been facing. One, I sort of didn't need to think about, I mean, I had what I would say, if I really want to, I don't really want my young girls or anyone to listen to this, but I had a serious health issue, which does bring mental health potential.
Absolutely, yes.
I personally dealt with it, I think, pretty much without getting overly worried or depressed or whatever. I've had moments and I've had issues and I've actually had, in some respects, blow up anger sometimes. That's not been great. So there has been mental health issues. But I would say I've been lucky compared with a lot of people in a situation like this, because when one has a cancer, then what I've realised is it can be really scary. And if you're really scared, you could have all sorts of, and I hope people listening to this don't, I am not here to try and preach anyone and say, because I feel like this, you must feel like that. I'm just observing that this is how it may be. So I would be sometimes so angry about things, or I could be slightly depressed about things, but I could absolutely see how scary this could be and how scary something like this could make you feel. And I think if that's the case, I would strongly, strongly, strongly recommend RSABI. But I would also go back to say, I hope that your neighbor, you've got some farming neighbors, friends, local neighbors and friends, because I was so lucky with that. That helped me massively. I just feel that it's interesting. And I could be wrong, because the last thing I'm wanting to do here is lecture anyone about health of any sort. But I do feel that it makes one realise how, especially, and I don't mean to detract from anyone's cancer, which could be anywhere in the body, but when a mental health, when a brain tumour is a thing, not only is it a cancer, but it also does affect you mentally, because it affects your brain.
Of course, yeah.
So do remember that if you've got a neighbour or someone, and also do, if it's you, look at opportunities of speaking to the likes of RSABI, etc. That's about all I'm going to say, because I can't give you too much about my own medical treatment and what have you, and what I'm going through, because what I've learned is don't get too much detail about what someone else is doing or whatever, because everyone is slightly different.
Yes, and every case is different.
Again, mentally, it slightly confuses me. I've got got a friend who's going through something quite similar. And we speak, but we don't speak too much about the detail because it can get confusing. Mm-hmm. So, but think about making you feel strong. Think about how you, something like RSABI or whatever could make you feel strong. If you're a neighbor or a family member or whatever, think about how you could help by making it strong.
I think that's really, really good point, actually, that we can't, you can't put physical health in one box and mental health in another box and keep them separate, because when you have a physical health issue, it's inevitable that your mental health will be affected, because as you say, you are scared and you're going through a massive life change and you've got other people around you who are going through a life change. So one impacts upon the other. And I think it's, we've just got to remind ourselves of that.
What a way of putting it, Anna, because that's exactly it. When you get something that's really hit you bad physically, you're allowed to think, how is this affecting me mentally?
It's humbling for those of us who aren't involved. And yet it must be humbling for you to know that so many people have offered their help. And I know I was at the Rett gala dinner a few weekends ago and spoke to so many people. And the very first thing each person asked me that evening was, how's Monty getting on? And it just shows that, you know, they might not be people who know you well enough to give you a lift to the hospital, but the goodwill and the care is just industry-wide, and it's amazing. It's really, really humbled me.
I love hearing that. If that's the way right putting it, I don't mean I love hearing that to give me a big head. Even that, crush, that's a bad thing to say as well. I don't want a bigger head. Everything's got to go. Oh, sorry, listeners. But my point is, please hand my, and anyone listening to this, to be honest, I'd happily, my phone, my mobile to WhatsApp me. I've got this little addiction of, I'm actually, Dave will nod his head, I've probably been speaking now for about 20 minutes, which is about as long as I can speak at the moment. I'm not really great on a phone call or whatever, but WhatsApp, if anyone ever wants to WhatsApp me and just send me some, even a picture of sheep or whatever, I just love
that.
You've
not got enough of those.
No. Kind of love that chat. And it seems to be the thing that keeps me going.
Yeah.
Anna, it's not that long ago that we couldn't persuade Monty onto WhatsApp. So there's that.
Well, that's true.
What is this newfangled technology you're trying to lure me into?
Well, it's not that much longer ago that we were trying to persuade Monty that a podcast was a good idea, and it took him a while to come around.
I was just going to say that. Do you know, it's just all about the things that are out there now that we can dip in and out of. It's amazing.
Can we talk about lambing? Can we encourage Moira to come on? And because actually, without, no disrespect to you, Monty, but I suspect that Moira has been lambing sheep for longer than you have.
Depends what you call lamb.
No, but seriously, how is it going to work, Moira? You're in charge this year. Does this mean that you listen to Monty's opinion and then make your own decision anyway? How does it work?
Well, that might be how it's going to turn out. I'll be told what to do.
In no uncertain.
And then when he turns his back, you
and I'll never do it good enough.
I think if I could just say, Moira's in charge. I'm going to be doing what I can do to set the goals, if that's the way of putting it. But the point being, this is the most important thing, and I mean, here's the best sheep farmer you'll ever hear from. Not, but my point is, the sheep lambing, they need to lamb. It's their job. There is no point in being in this situation where, oh my God, look at that, grab it, lamb it, bloody blah. It's not that at all. And I'm never like that. So hopefully Moira will cope, because our strategy is always, there's one lambing, I'll leave it just now and I'll come back in an hour's time and it's lambed. And that's the job. That's the sheep's job. That's Moira's job or my job or whoever's job. Let the blooming things get on with it. That's what life's about. You cannot be grabbing animals and pulling them out. It's the same as maybe another program that was similar on the telly about with some Clydesdale horses. Oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. No, let them try and do their best. That's my opinion of animals and looking after animals.
I'm sure there's some helping hands.
This is the real danger, isn't it, after 7 months of putting a microphone in front of Monty's face. Is that he's got a lot to get off his chest.
He doesn't actually have any notes in front of him, but I'm surprised by that. The notes are all in his head. I've got to get all this out. Yeah, but I know that makes sense. I'm trying to think of a clever analogy, but it's about, what you're saying is just in life don't interfere too much and just, but be there. I suppose, you know, it's actually like kids, isn't it? Bringing up kids. Don't helicopter around them. Let them do kid things, but be there to pick them up if they fall or if they need your help. And what you're saying is that it's the sheep's job to lamb and you've just got to be there to make sure that they get the help if they need it. Is that right, Moira?
Ask me in a few weeks' time. I'm sure there'll be a few needing a helping hand, but not many.
I must have a symptom. Moira, you would answer this. You will know this better than Anna and Dave, who haven't had to deal with this for the last 6 months listening to me. But
what's he been like, Moira?
I've got this symptom of, it is more like, you know, I suppose I'm much more, you're going to nod your head to this, or at least I think I'm much more open now. I don't know if it's a symptom, but if I disagree with something, it comes over.
Yeah, we know.
Which is interesting because I would say you were fairly open beforehand.
Right, okay.
It's just exaggerating.
It's a different filter, I suppose, isn't it?
Filter's gone.
Unfiltered
and
Monty.
You're saying that's a symptom of the brain tumour rather than a new outlook on life from having
it could
had
be
a
both, Dave.
Both.
Could be both.
Yeah. Could
yeah.
be both. It could yeah. be both. And in a seriousness, it could be both. I just think it's something to do with when you judge things that are going on and you judge help and you judge. An example might be you could pick up a newspaper and it'll be saying, oh, the NHS is rubbish or taking its time or whatever. That's bull. Bull. The NHS have been so good for me in my experience. And I think that a lesson in life at the moment is there are a lot of things happening that are so helpful and so good. And it just makes you isolate the 5% of things or whatever that's absolutely happening that you think, no. And I think it just makes me, it's sort of polished my, oh my goodness, I need to say thank you to that. Oh my goodness, that is doing so well. Oh my goodness, well done. And it's given me that sort of, actually, that part, I'm not even going to be politically correct to that sort of behaviour or that sort of, let's do that with these animals or whatever. I'm just no.
So it's somewhere between a bluntness and wearing your heart on your sleeve, isn't it?
I'm sensing also just gratitude for, like you've said, all the people who've helped, but everybody in your life. I'm going to embarrass at least two people by saying this, but the first time I came to visit you after your diagnosis, you said to me, and one of the things you said, I just can't believe that I've been married to Moira for such a long time and I haven't fully appreciated her until now. And I'm sure you did, but you hadn't maybe expressed it. And so I think the unfiltered, maybe it will get you in trouble once or twice if you say something blunt to somebody, but actually there are positives to it too, from what I can see.
You have an opportunity right now, Monty, with a microphone in front of you and a wife to one side to do exactly that. You can tell Moira exactly.
I told you, Anna.
How much she means to you.
Why I'm telling you now, because I did wonder.
You know, one of the things, well, to be fair, this has been the most difficult thing that we've been dealing with as a family, without a doubt, yeah. Obviously. And I try not to ever think about that so much, but it is. And, obviously, apart from the fact that I love Moira so much for dealing with the stuff she's dealt with, I also get so disgusted, if that's the word, with myself, embarrassed with myself for the stuff that I just cannot do at the moment. It's just difficult. I can't do stuff. I'm trying, and this health situation with the NHS, which hopefully, as I say, the treatment finishes in June. Recovery might take till July. Hopefully after that, which is less than a year, really. It will be less than a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully at that stage, I can start to be doing stuff, back to building normality of doing stuff. But my goodness, at the moment, all the stuff that just doesn't fit and can't do is amazing what Moira has to do. I suppose one of the things I should say right now, which is not really just for Moira, but really pees me off, I don't know when it's coming back, and I'll even admit that on the podcast, is driving. I can't drive. I'm not allowed to drive. I couldn't, even supposing, it's just health-wise, I couldn't at the moment. Hope I get it back, because what that does make me realise is we're on a farm and beside a main road. There's nowhere I can go. It's not easy. When it's not about, I thought, oh, I'm not going to drive, so I won't be able to go X, Y, or Z. I can't do that. It's more than that. It's just driving is everything. You just go play. It's the only way to do anything.
But if you need something or you need somebody, usually you've got to drive to get there. So, anyway, yeah, the frustration.
And
yeah.
That's knocked me. That's just an example of, I suppose, actually, this the kind of upsetting example, if I want to give it that, about that, is the things that, back to Moira, having, you know, she doesn't farm. She's farming, helping me farm at the moment, but she does a very, very powerful job with her IT business. Anyway, so she would have to work. So the jobs, like, not jobs, the pleasure of driving the girls to their hockey lesson after school one night a week, their swimming lesson another night a week, was me. And that felt sometimes, I can't be bothered going to a swimming lesson, or I can't be bothered going to hockey. But my goodness, it was important, and now it's gone.
Hmm.
And it's just little things like that that, A, upsets me, and B, it's another thing that Moira is having to do on top of everything else. And I hope it all gets back to me being able to do stuff. But yeah, we've got, there's all sorts of things go on that are health, but there's all sorts of things that are just, feels like it's just third string help. But when you actually have to rely on someone else to do it, and it makes me feel like I'm 80 or something, to be honest. But it's just what it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, because, and it's, like you say, Moira's got so much else to do that when you add the day-to-day extras on, it's a lot of weight on your shoulders, Moira.
Can I give you something that cheers me up slightly about, like Moira, or just life in general, again, with friends and stuff? It's interesting, because one of the things that Moira and I did, which was coincidental but actually has worked for me for health, was we changed something in our kitchen, which is with a cabinet that had a lot of packets, if that's the right word, of photographs, old stuff, you know, before phones and what have you, a lot of taken on cameras and printed out, and then proper books of photographs and stuff. And we were moving all of that. The joiners were in to do stuff, so we were moving all of that. What an exercise that was in terms of looking back 20 years, 30 years.
Wow.
Back to stuff that was when I was in Young Farmers, mm-hmm. or when we first got together and things like that. And oh my goodness, what an exercise we've had with photographs, and how, like, it makes you jokingly say, how are you getting on with your wife? You know, et cetera. But just that, the fact that we're friends, very soon this year we'll have been married for 20 years. Well, that was when we first got together. 20 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And then looking at photographs from 10 years before that, from like Young Farmers days, mm-hmm. or actually even slightly before Young Farmers days, of things, playing rugby with a mate who came to visit us just before Christmas and stuff. Again, I would say I'm lucky, because that was an accident that we opened that and started getting into that. But anyone who's listening to this and wants something that's maybe a good thing to do for a health distraction or whatever, try and do that. It was an excellent exercise.
It's a brilliant rainy day idea, actually. Just go, because I've got albums and albums of photos that I never really look at. But on a rainy day, quite good to sit down and show the kids or just reminisce. And
What I did was I would be like, look at that. There's one of, we were underage. Better be quiet about that. drinking in the pub. Locally back in the day, and there's a mate of mine, and us, you know, and there we are, and it's so good because that's an old photograph, but you get the phone,
WhatsApp
it to
yes,
your friend.
Yes,
look at this, mate. Haven't spoken to you in a few years, but here's a photo of us from, you know, 1993 or 4 or whatever it was. Yeah, look at that. Look at the fun.
Yeah,
just what an exercise that was. And it makes you realise, again, it's maybe just something, if anyone wants to hear this and listen to this, you're feeling a bit crap about whatever it might be, that's an exercise I would recommend.
Fond memories. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Really,
and I guess it's made you reconnect with a lot of people who've kind of maybe not been in touch with as much.
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It's been an exercise in reconnecting with a few people who, when you're a bloke as well, maybe that sounds a sexist thing to say, but when you're a bloke and you've got, I have a friend who's farming in California. I have another friend who's in the, I better not, I better watch roughly what I say, because military that you couldn't say exactly where he was, but
Hereford.
Yeah, sort of something like that. Yeah, and
Hereford.
you know, people that I hadn't, it's just a thing. You always think I must make contact with or whatever. And
yeah,
10 years goes past, whatever it is. Anyway,
do it now.
As I say, WhatsApp and showing photos from that time. God, that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was fun, and this chat afterwards has been a massive boost for just. Yeah, it takes your mind off the health or anything else. Been great. Yeah.
You've all been through the mill. How have the girls been? You've got two lovely daughters, haven't you? Primary school age.
Yeah. The girls have been absolutely amazing in terms of getting through this, accepting, and not openly anyway, seeming to worry too much. There has been occasions where there's been, they've seemed worried about what's up with daddy or whatever, but they just, it comes and goes from them and they're not too bad. And I think if they're listening to this, obviously the point is daddy's in his recovery, he's on his medicines and he's going through this and, you know, and they know that I only sleep when they're at school and on the weekends we try and do normal things. But
yeah,
that's fair to say, isn't it, Mum?
Yeah, they're more resilient than you think, but they do. I think overnight stays in hospital was always a worry for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think as long as you're open and honest with them and like we showed them a picture of your turban on your head and your scar before they saw it in person and just prepare them as much as possible. We use the word cancer, but we don't overuse it.
That's true.
They know about it. They know about the radiotherapy. They know about chemotherapy, but don't dwell on it or go into it in too much detail, rightly or wrongly.
Can I ask you that, actually? Because I think that was something, it was maybe quite a good thing to get onto On Farm. We were pretty like, with the girls, when this happened, we were pretty like, bang with it because there was no way we wanted them to go to school and someone say, your daddy's got cancer, that's terrible. That's not good. We just went, cancer, brain tumour. We gave them all the words so that when they went to school or anything, they had heard the bad words, if they want to call it bad words. And they wouldn't be, that's how we did it, isn't it?
Yeah. And I spoke to McMillan and they said that we'd done it the right way, that they would advise, you know, they might ask questions. Sometimes Susanna has a little cry and you think, our heads just overthinking. Mm-hmm. It's usually when we're talking about something that we've been able to do in the past and she's thinking we can't quite do that just now.
Are they still able to ride the ponies and stuff and keep up the distractions?
Yeah.
You know, you were saying that distractions are really important for you. I suppose it's the same for everybody. Keep busy as much as possible.
I think the biggest issue we've had is in terms of that is, I mean, the winter's been rubbish, so they've not done the ponies as much as they would normally, etc. But in other situations, I mean, I've driven up. Well, I haven't driven. Maura's driven me up to the Western today for this monthly visit, and we've come here. This is the furthest we've driven, and we've got opportunity again. I must say thank you to all the opportunity we've got to go to holiday houses, basically either belonging to our family or whatever. But we've got lots of opportunity. And yet, the furthest I can really sit in a vehicle at the moment is to come here. And that is probably something that, like, our girls are slightly missing out on as well, because we've not been able to... I mean, I'll get there, and we will get it, but...
I don't know, we didn't go that far anyway.
No, but we will end up... We'll go to Ely, that's coming up after Lamington.
And I've learnt to drive the trailer.
Have you? Oh, you have to give me a lesson. I definitely can't go backwards with a trailer.
Well, I didn't say I could go back.
Just do loops, big circle.
Yes. It's all about parking in the right place.
But all of the opportunities of things like going and taking the girls to X, Y, or Z, I must say, if they are listening, girls, you know, it's just been daddy who has had other things needing to be done medically or being a bit tired, etc., that we have not been away to places that we might have been able to or whatever. But it is coming up and we'll get there.
And, you know, those of us who don't live in the Scottish borders go there to have fun and to see the beauty of it. So, you know, you've got that opportunity. You can't go far. So instead, just explore new places. I know that even just near us during lockdown, we went on a walk and Willie said, oh, I don't think I've ever been here before. And it was literally 5 minutes from home. So make the most of it. Yeah, just amazing stuff that you've got on your doorstep.
We are lucky where we live. And I emphasize again how lucky we are with the help we've had where we live. Massively. Yeah. Point being, though, really, we will get to go places. We will get back. I just need to get the strength back that allows me to be, I guess, just comfortable sitting in a vehicle, or learn, which is probably what I should be doing, learn to roll the seat back and fall asleep if Moira's driving me to wherever it might be.
Not comment on my driving.
Yeah, because I
sleep
bet you...
sounds like a good option then.
delightful.
You drive every corner anyway, don't you? In the passenger seat,
to some extent. I'm not a great passenger.
So remember that
An eye mask. That's what we need to get him wearing.
Yeah. Remember that program, Keeping Up Appearances. Mind the pedestrian. Yeah. Mind the pedestrian.
Hyacinth.
We need to wrap up. We could talk all day, Monty. It's so nice to see you. Have you
sure
here?
Is. Yeah.
Have you on the podcast? You were telling us about your trajectory from this point on. You're hoping to have, you've got another round of chemotherapy.
Three
months,
more rounds.
Right?
Yeah.
After this, but this is third month. I've got six in total. So this is month three, then another three.
So April, May, June. Yep. You're looking to the summer to kind of get off the meds and back to some semblance of normality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Best mm-hmm. of luck, mate.
Yeah.
There is going to be scans after that. There will be scans. That's mm-hmm. what one hopes. You can't just say treatment's over and that's it. So there will be scans. So I'll have a bit of fear in the future about what will a scan show up. However, that is not the main fear. The main fear is, in fact, sorry, there's no fear. That's, what am I saying that for? Scans will always be something that scares one because you have to check. Mm-hmm. The point is, there shouldn't be a fear. Treatment will be done and the job's done. Better in July is my plan.
Enjoy the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you've got things to look forward to in the summer. We may see you at the Highland Show, we may not. You'll just see how you feel. But it'll be good to have you back. But it's good to have you here and chatting and giving us an update. And I don't think it would be right, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it would be right to name any of the amazing people who've helped you for fear of missing people out. We will make sure that they listen to the podcast and so they know who they are.
There's a huge number of people. There was all the people, neighbours and locals and whatever, who drove me. And there's still people who just want to help and keep saying that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. If you're listening, that I can't name you because there's so many, but I'm you know
who you
I'm
are.
Grateful.
Overwhelming support. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
So lucky.
Yeah. Well done, Moira.
Well, thank you both for being here. And it's great to have you on the podcast for the first time, Moira. You're a natural. We'll get you back again.
Edit me out.
There you are. You're the farm manager. You could be the pod manager as well now. And on that note, Dave.
Don't push your luck, Monty. All right, guys, thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you,
Dave,
Dave,
for hosting us.
So there you have it, Monty's road to recovery. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you found it uplifting as well. I certainly did, because Monty's attitude to his illness is really quite phenomenal, and I'm in awe, actually. So a great episode. Thank you to Monty and to Dave, and thank you once again to Gillespie McAndrew. They've sponsored this podcast for a while now. We are so grateful, but it's incredibly encouraging to now be able to also have a personal recommendation for them, as well as the fact that we know they're great to work with on a podcast level. I'm almost lost for words actually after this episode, so bear with me. But Gillespie McAndrew also run the NFU Scotland helpline. So if you do have a legal matter and you feel stuck, please give them a call and they will be there to help you out. But thank you to all concerned for this episode, and hopefully Monty will be back as a more regular voice from the summertime onwards. Music.
As you know, the On Farm podcast is brought to you by the team at Seen and Heard PR and Marketing, and I just wanted to remind you about a new initiative that's happening here called On Record. On Record is a project to preserve voices, stories and memories for the future with your very own audio recording. So we're recording memories of rural life. We're travelling around Scotland, working with families and organisations to capture precious voices of family members or staff members or long-serving office bearers, to preserve those for posterity and sometimes for historical value. So if you think this project is something that you'd like to be involved in, and maybe you have a grandparent or a parent that you'd like to capture on audio while you can, please do get in touch. You can find out more at onrecordmemories.co.uk.